Blog Talk Radio.
This is the first time in our history that this ceremony has been held, as you've been told, on this west front of the Capitol. Standing here, one faces a magnificent vista opening up on this city's special beauty and history. At the end of this open mall are those shrines to the giants on whose shoulders we stand. Directly in front of me, a monument to a monumental man, George Washington, father of our country. A man of humility who came to greatness reluctantly. He led America out of revolutionary victory into infant nationhood. Off to one side, the stately memorial to Thomas Jefferson, a Declaration of Independence flames with his eloquence. And then beyond the reflecting pool, the dignified columns of the Lincoln Memorial. Whoever would understand in his heart the meaning of America will find it in the life of Abraham Lincoln. Beyond those moments, those monuments to heroism, is the Potomac River, and on the far shore, the sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David. They add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. Each one of those markers is a monument to the kind of hero I spoke of earlier. Their lives ended in places called Belleau Wood, the Argonne, Omaha Beach, Salerno, and halfway around the world on Guadalcanal, Tarawa, Porkchop Hill, the Chosin Reservoir, and in 100 rice paddies and jungles of a place called Vietnam. Under one such marker lies a young man, Martin Treptow, who left his job in a small-town barber shop in 1917 to go to France with the famed Rainbow Division. There on the Western Front, he was killed trying to carry a message between battalions under heavy artillery fire. We're told that on his body was found a diary. On the flyleaf, under the heading, My Pledge, he had written these words, America must win this war. Therefore I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure. I will fight cheerfully and do my utmost as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone. The crisis we're facing today does not require of us the kind of sacrifice that Martin Treptow and so many thousands of others were called upon to make. It does require, however, our best effort and our willingness to believe in ourselves and to believe in our capacity to perform great deeds, to believe that together, with God's help, we can and will resolve the problems which now confront us. And after all, why shouldn't we believe that? We are Americans. God bless you and thank you. Thank you very much.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're grateful that you've tuned in. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country to come join us, come and learn with us. And tonight we are going to be joined by Mark Ferreras and Mary Calamia of Stomp Common Core, New York. They are the ones that have taken the lead with the I Refuse rallies that are going on in New York and really that other states are copying. And we are just so grateful for the great work that these two are doing. But while we're waiting for them, I'm going to be going over a bit of news that of what's happening in the great state of Alabama. I would like to share with you a letter from our governor, Robert Bentley, that has been sent out. I think it is really tremendous, and it is about his stand for the children, which we are so very grateful that he is interceding in behalf of the parents and children that are very concerned about the Common Core and the assessments that goes with it. So I'm going to read the letter, but first of all, I think I would like to read the memorandum that many parents got in regard to their request for their child not to take these assessments, the testing. And I think it's important to read that so you can kind of get the context of what the governor is responding to. So first of all, I will read the letter from our state superintendent of education, Tommy Bice. This is a letter that was sent dated April 16, 2014. It's to city and county superintendents. It's regarding the new summative assessment system. Let me see. Okay, I think I see Mark or Mary. Hi there. Who have we got? Is this Mary?
Or Mark? No, it's Mark.
Hey, Mark. No, is Mary going to come on in a little bit later?
Yes, Mary's going to be on in about 7 minutes. She just had to take care of something, and then she'll be on.
Okay. Well, Mark, I was going to start off while I was getting started talking about our governor's statement. If you don't mind, can I read it? Do you mind if I read that?
Course.
And just
of
go
course.
Over that? Okay. We're just so grateful because, you know, we really don't have very many governors that is taking a stand for parents and children. So when we hear of one, we really need to commend them because we know that they're going to get a lot of flack for standing up for parents. But I thank God that they realize the value in children, right?
That's right.
These are the future of America. But anyway, here's the letter that was sent out by our state superintendent of education. Over the past several weeks, our office has received inquiries from the field regarding parents requesting their children to opt out of our state-approved summative assessment. There is currently no such option available in our state. And he cites the Alabama law, Alabama Administrative Code 290-4-2-01, which is very important. He says, if any parent makes an opt-out request, please provide them with the above statement and a copy of the attached code citation. Should a student be absent on the days of testing, please apply the current criteria for determining the correct coding for that absence. And, you know, it's pretty bad when we look at the coding, so what could happen? So anyway, it says, should you be challenged, please refer them to his office. And here is the response from the governor, which maybe I need to also, let me also read, though, the response, I mean, the statute that he's saying. Because, Mark, I think part of the problem is, you know, unless we look at our laws, it's almost like we listen to the people that's telling us what they are, right?
Unfortunately,
we can't. We have to investigate. And for people have said, well, you know, parents are not showing up for this and that. They're not doing this and that for their children. I think the problem has been for a long time is parents have trusted the system, which
that's
is
right.
An error. And we're seeing that. It is a great big error. But it's not because parents don't care about their children and what's being taught their children. It's because they have trusted too much. But here's the statute that this one refers to. The policy of the Alabama State Board of Education is to have a unified, coordinated state testing program. Alabama Student Assessment Program is a system of assessments that measures the knowledge and abilities of students in Alabama's public schools for the following purposes. To provide information to educators and parents regarding the educational strengths and weaknesses of individual students. To provide information to assist local and state educational personnel in reviewing and planning for instructional and curricular improvements. To provide information to local and state educational personnel, policymakers, and the general public regarding the educational performance of Alabama students. The Alabama State Board of Ed shall choose a test to be used, grades to be administered, and when chosen, tests shall be administered. All students must be provided the opportunity to participate in the state testing program. Now, Mark, do you hear anything? I'm thinking this is the land of opportunity. The word opportunity is there. All students must be provided the opportunity. I don't think this is the land of force. Do you?
Like you said earlier, which was a key point, I believe that legislation decides that most of the people will not question what they pass through, will not question their rules and regulations, and so forth. And so, therefore, they will present to you what they, you know, want off the get-go. And then you have to do your own investigation after that, and you have to understand your rights. But they will present to you what they want you to believe is what's supposed to happen. And I have to be honest with you, for a governor to stand up the way he just did is phenomenal, because so many of the governors in the states that are involved in the Common Core, you know, federal takeover have completely succumbed to the standards, completely succumb to the agenda that's been presented upon our children. And I have to applaud Governor Bentley. It was a huge move for him. It was a huge move. I wish he was our governor. I really do. Parents need to understand that the legislation, that the rhetoric of the legislation that they present is not really what you are entitled to. There, you know, you can interpret it as you want to, but you do not need to, you know, abide by exactly what they say, because it's what they want when they present it.
Well, the letter he sent out is pretty much the bottom line that I love on this is, this will not result in investigation of parents or other legal action or any retaliatory action of any kind. So for the children to not be present to take those tests, that's huge. That's a huge support for that family. You know, to know that their children will not have to face that. So we are thanking God. But, you know, I think, too, one of the things that we're going to have to deal with is to stand up and take that law for what it is. And, you know, we're going to be told all sorts of stuff. I mean, this is going to be represented probably a different way from what our superintendent, and I'm hearing that already. But the law is the law, and I think it's up to us to be on the offense, you know.
That's right.
It used to be, Ms. Barber says, you know, all it takes is a constitution and, you know, a man in the constitution. We really need to know the law, and we need to stand behind the law and thank God for people like that. But anyway, well, we're here with Mark Ferreras and Mary Calamia from New York is going to be joining us. So, Mark, you know, thank God for what y'all are doing. You're fighting so hard. And, you know, it has been inspirational, as I told you last night. And, you know, we shared with you that you have so inspired one mother, and that resulted in a letter to our governor, and along with other letters. But, you know, it's so inspirational to have read her letter, and, you know, and action. This is the action that we got from our governor. So we're just so thankful that, you know, a mother makes a difference. And really, it should. Mothers should make difference. Parents should make difference. Unfortunately, they're the ones being removed from this educational system with a Common Core approach.
Their plan is to separate the children from the parents so that they can have their way with the children. And I have to be honest with you, Diana. I'm so proud of Jennifer, and I can't even explain the feeling when you explained to me last night what happened, and I didn't even think that would ever transpire. But like, you know, like we always say, the Lord provides when we need Him most, and she was provided for, and that's what the bottom line is. And she took a stand, and more parents need to see that when by someone like that taking a stand, they can also as well. It's an option. It's your right. These are your children, and whatever you're being told, whatever you're being bullied into believing, and, you know, you guys don't understand what happens here in New York as far as the administrators, the superintendents, you know, everybody's in charge of the education here. They are trying every tactic in the world to let parents become victims of the idea that they are in control of their children. They have singled children out. There's been an instance where a child was told that if he doesn't take the test and the rest of his class does, that his class will not receive recess anymore. They will not receive snack time, and it will be completely his fault. There are other schools that are providing ice cream for those that take the test and no ice cream for those that don't. Do you understand the psychological ramifications on a child? As adults, we see that as, okay, we don't really care if we have ice cream or not. But what does a child think when every one of his friends has ice cream and he doesn't? To put that child in a position like that, Diana, you know. You understand how bad that is. So thank God that we have a state like Alabama. You guys are doing unbelievable work down there. We're all so proud of you, and we'll always be here for you. We'll always help you in any way you need because you're in this fight with us, and that's it. And I love Jennifer for what she did. I'm real proud of you, Governor. That's unheard of, to be honest with you, to what he did. So we're just trying to pass this along. And we're in this together, and you shake our hand, we shake your hand. You know how it goes. We love each other, and we're always going to be here, okay?
And we lift each other up, and, you know, you never – I do appreciate – and I think Mary is on with us. Is that you? I see Mary.
I'm here.
Hi, Mary Calamia. Thank you so much
Hi.
For being on. It is so
no
good.
Problem.
I was just telling – we were just talking about what happened with our governor in Alabama that's really taking a stand, and it's humongous as far as the lift that parents are getting. It's still going to be a fight. We have a long way to go, but what a boost. And to Mary, I think the thing is parents have got to own this. They cannot sit in the back. I think we really have to go forward with this, you know, take it for what it is. It is the law. It is the spirit of the law. It has always been to help, not to hurt.
Yeah.
And the laws are being misinterpreted in a big way.
You are so lucky that you have a governor like that, because ours, there are words I can't say about our governor on the air. he's got his heels dug in so hard and so deep, and he's just going to ram this down our throats, you know.
Well,
so
I don't think he's
going
to be governor much longer from what I'm hearing from now.
From your lips to God's ears.
That's yet to be seen, and we hope so. But we know the power that we're up against. This is, I don't want to sugarcoat this or water this down. This is an extremely powerful man, and yes, we do have an opponent that is on our side that is going to fight the way we fight, and let's hope for the best. Just like Mary said, from your lips to God's ears, because at this point, that's what we can pray for. But as far as everything we're doing here in New York, Mary has orchestrated an event that is absolutely incredible that, you know, the state is going to be flocking to. I, if you want to explain it, Mary, maybe you guys can do it down in Alabama.
Sure. We're having a lobby day. And I don't know if lobby days are just a New York phenomenon, but basically what we're getting is an area in the legislature building known as the Well. It's this big open forum in the right smack in the heart of our state legislature building. You have to reserve it. It usually takes about a year to get the Well. But when I called to try and reserve it, when I told the gentleman that the issue was Common Core, they found a date for me. And what we do is we're going to be busing people in from all over the state. We're going to have – we're not allowed to use the word rally. So we'll call it a get-together in the Well, where we'll have speakers and a whole lot of rally-like atmosphere. And then people will be making or are already making appointments to visit their legislators there. because when you do a lobby day, you do it when your legislature is in full session. And so we have a whole bunch of appointments to go visit the legislatures, the legislators, and speak to them face-to-face in their own home turf. And it's a very effective way to show them the numbers, the sheer volume, because they'll hear us down there in the well, and to let them hear our voices, not only the legislators who we want to move over to our side, but the legislators who are already on our side, to go thank them, meet them face-to-face. We're going to have children there. They want to see who it is they're serving for real. And it should be a great day. There's a lot of momentum building. It's like herding cats trying to get this all organized. But but I think we're going to have a really successful lobby day. So that's June 17th. And people will be traveling to the state capitol from all over. People, for some people it might be a six-hour trip each way. So it's a long day, but it's a lot of fun. So that's what we're going to be doing.
You're giving people so much hope, guys, because, they felt like their hands have been tied. I know it's been frustrating. So for you to have this event, I can't help but think it's just a momentum building. I mean, momentum has already been building, but this just will be such a wave. And, I really can't think of any state where the anti-Common Core movement is diminishing. Can you? It's on the other side. So people really need to wake up. That is a fact, isn't it?
It is. The momentum is building. And another really good benefit of doing like this lobby day thing is people who may be intimidated with the notion of speaking to an elected official, they don't have to go in alone. We put teams together of three, four, maybe five people go in together. And some people are going to be stronger on some issues, and some people may be just going in to observe, and it breaks that fear or that intimidation of talking to an elected official for people whose knees may be knocking when they're off to see the wizard. And what you come out of a lobby day with is now people who are more experienced at this. And you build those numbers so that they're empowered now to take the ball from there and keep harping on these guys and keep moving, keep the movement moving and building. You know, what you're basically doing at a lobby day is training other people on how to lobby.
That's right.
Well, I love it. I love it. And, I was just thinking of the David and Goliath. And David said, is there not a cause? This is definitely the biggest cause for parents, and it's so worthwhile. And so I'm just thanking God for what y'all are doing. We have done something similar. And you're right, because I remember hearing mothers that went with their children, with their babies, and, it did encourage them. It strengthened them to know, these are just regular folks, too.
Exactly.
There's really nothing spectacular about these people. And I've got a reason to be here. And, this is my capital, too. This is my legislature. And so I think it was very, very good. So I'm just so excited about what it's going to do for the state.
Oh, I am just so hoping that we can maybe take some people who are sitting on the fence and move them onto our side.
That's 100%. I mean, Mary's been working so hard at this, and, the entire state has gone on board. We have, and preceding this, we have so many other events, small events that make a difference. For instance, this weekend, we have an event in New York State, which I got to be honest with you, I would love to see Alabama get involved in. It's called Flyerpalooza, and the I Refuse team, Mary's part of it, I'm part of it. We created an event. We had a flyer, printed up with all the bullet points of every single, issue that's involved with refusing the upcoming math tests between April 30th and May 2nd here in New York. And so what we're doing is we're having teams all over the state are printing out these flyers, and they're going to be at local shopping centers or wherever they may go over the weekend. And they're going to we had 34,000, and that's a rough number. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's close. but we had 34,000 children, you know, refuse these tests in New York State. And when you think in the grand scheme of things of the amount of public school children there are, guess what? Think about a year ago. Think about a year ago when this first started out. We didn't have anywhere close to that number. And so that's why the education is always going to continue, and that's why what we're doing this weekend. We, the parents that still are on the fence, like Mary said, about certain things, we're going to re-educate them. We're going to be out there Friday afternoon. We're going to be at a major shopping center. We have the I Refuse booth, and we have teams all across New York State that are going to be handing out these flyers, and we're going to try to double the amount of refusals for these standardized tests. Because like Mary always says, the standardized tests are the data that fuels the curriculum. So if you cut off the data, you starve the beast. And that's one of the best lines I've ever heard, and it's true. So we have to start there. And that's what we're doing this weekend. It's called Flyerpalooza. It would be amazing if everybody in Alabama could go to the I Refuse page and download the flyer. Do it in your neighborhoods. Do it wherever it is that you want to do. Put them in your car. Bring them wherever you go. Bring them to a Starbucks. Bring them to a supermarket, wherever. The flyer is available. And here's the main point. Of all the points that are focused on that flyer, this is what I believe is the strongest point. And I believe it's the reason that parents have, you know, a little bit of nervousness about actually refusing, you know, these tests and to not, you know, well, this. Here it is, okay, in a nutshell. It doesn't affect grades. It doesn't affect advancement. And it does not affect special services. There are so many children that have IEPs and all types of special services, and you will be told by your administrators, by the superintendents, anyone who's pro-Common Core and ready to push this down the children's throats, that all these things will be affected. Local school funding, not affected as well. And that's what people worry about, that they've been told that all these things are going to happen as a result of having your child refuse. We are telling you that these things are not true. There is no effect on grades, advancement, and special services. Do not let yourselves be fooled by the legislation that they want you to hear, because we have rights as parents, and those are the rights. And so I think everybody who's listening to this, Alabama, wherever, go on to the I Refuse page, download the flyer, and get it out there. Even if it's you and another person, and you choose to do it in a Target parking lot, every single person that we get on board is another person that we have on our team. And that's how we fight. We fight a little bit at a time. They fight in big, decisive chunks. They're not really doing anything. They're not really winning. They claim they're winning, but they're nervous. We have them scared. And so every single time we get another parent on board that was on the fence, we win. It's a victory, small, large, whatever the case may be. That's the beauty of this. It's a chain effect. One parent does it, she tells another parent. Right.
You know, I love that, the age-old tool is to lie. And make it big and lie, you know, again and again. And that's what we're seeing. Now, people are being made fearful. And as you're saying, it is really a lot of lies. And we're finding that out with a statute that's being used in Alabama. But I do love that thinking. Somebody has shared this little story about a snowflake. You know, one snowflake couldn't hurt a fly, right? But you put a lot of snowflake on a tree, and what happened? You know,
yeah,
and that's what you're going to do.
Right. Yep.
That's what.
Exactly.
I mean, just a little innocent snowflake, but you know, but really, our snowflakes are not going to be harmless because they're mad parents. They're angered parents, and they have righteous anger and indignation. And it's right because when you think about Mary Kellamia, what you shared as a testimony, that has been one
right.
of the things I have shared with everybody is, how dare you hurt these children? How can we allow that? We will not allow it. And so, Mary, for those that are, you know, new and they're not understanding the value of not being a part of this testing, can you share with them why it's important?
Oh, sure. Sure. Here's why it's important. First of all, for all the reasons Mark said, these tests do nothing for your children. But what they do to your children is a whole nother story. For starters, a child who takes the tests, at least here in New York State, who fails the tests, where 70% of the students failed them last year, they could actually end up in services that they didn't need. You know what it does to a child when they, instead of lunch, have to go to extra help every other day for a class that they were previously an honors student in, like math. I see kids in my practice. I'm a psychotherapist, for those of you who don't know. I see kids in my practice who are coming in with anxiety off the charts since Common Core rolled out in New York State. Now, I've always had kids with anxiety. I've always had kids who were self-mutilating. I've always had kids who were bedwetting or having nightmares or separation anxiety. But in all of my years of practice since 1995, I have never had kids come in consistently telling me the same cause of their anxiety, that it's school, it's too hard, I don't understand it, I feel stupid. Usually I'd have kids come in and say, oh, my parents don't understand me, I'm having peer problems, a boyfriend problems, girlfriend problems, I hate my little brother. I'm not hearing that from them. All I ever hear about is the homework, the schoolwork is too hard, and the tests, and there's too much pressure. And, you know, the teachers are being evaluated based on how these kids do on the test. It's trickle-down anxiety. The teachers are anxious. And the pressure on these kids to perform for tests that do absolutely nothing for them. Nothing. We have field testing here in June. We're going to be testing the kids for practice questions for next year's test. They're going to lose a whole day of school, or a couple of hours anyway, which is essentially a whole day, just to test questions for next year's tests. This is absurd. So what we need people to do is refuse the tests. And I love hearing my words come out of somebody else's mouth, because when Marcus, you were saying that, I'm thinking, did I say that? That was brilliant. We starve the beast. We cut off the food supply, and it's a bottom-up approach to taking down the Common Core. Even if you think your kid is going to do brilliantly on the tests, why would you allow your child to take that test? How many children is it acceptable to have failing a test? 70% of the kids failed the test last year, nationwide. How many kids is it okay? Is it acceptable? As long as your kid's doing okay, but how many kids is it acceptable to have walking around feeling like failures and feeling stupid? How many kids? You have to ask yourself that question. If your kid is doing great, that's great. Do it for other kids. Refuse the test. And if enough people refuse the test, you know what happens? They go back to teaching the regular way. No pressure, an entire month of test prep and bubble. Here's how you fill in the bubbles. It all goes away. And they go back to learning reading, writing, and arithmetic the way it was supposed to be.
Well, you know, I really hate to see the sea change. Somebody had said in the sea of faces, you know, after school, there's such a change in the, you know, countenance of the children. It's as if depression has set in. You know, mothers are saying that. They have noticed, you know, they're not coming out happy like they used to come out. So, you know, I really don't understand how we cannot try to find out what's going on. I had one mother that said, you know, she didn't know anything. Oh, go ahead.
In the first 10 weeks of this year, New York City saw 10 suicides, youth suicides. In the first 10 weeks, one kid per week, essentially. We had last year on Long Island a child, a 14-year-old, committed suicide during the ELA exams. Now, again, do we know for sure that this is Common Core related? No, because we can't interview these children. But when you start to see, and I know the suicide rate for teachers nationwide has gone up a tick, we have to examine this. This has to be taken into consideration. A lot of people ask me, well, where's your research? Well, research takes years. You know, are we going to sacrifice an entire generation of children just to see, well, is it working or is it not working? You know, research takes years. I say we stop it and then research it.
Wow.
You know, and and to the people, incidentally, who asked for the research, you know, but so boldly accepted an unresearched set of standards.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you for pointing that out. Oh, 101 here, you know.
Yeah.
Common sense 101, right? Where is it?
Yeah, exactly.
That's 10 suicides too many. A child has decided to take his life over something that was thrust upon him that had no bearing, or we don't know, but for the most part, we're going to assume that it had no bearing on whatever, you know, psychological, you know, things that they had going on beforehand. If they did have something that was already, you know, surfacing within them, guess what? This might have pushed them over the edge.
Exactly. It's like throwing the butane on a fire.
Right.
Well, we had Pauline Hawkins on the other night, who is from Colorado, a teacher that turned in her resignation, and she says she's asked the same questions to her high school students for the past 10 years, but this year, I mean, for the past years, it's been like a depressed, you know, one depressive narrative after another. And so she's like you, Mary Calamia. She is seeing the harm. And also she has one child who has a disability, and she's seeing that. And so she is getting out, is breaking her heart. This is, you know, she loves the children, but she wants to be able to speak out too. So she's speaking out. And, you know, I think there needs to be, I know lawsuits, I'm thinking from, you know, with Attorney General going before them. You know, what about the mantra, do no harm? I mean, it's so sad that the place that we trust the children to is really the place that now abuses the children. And I think it was Joan Landis that said, you know, 20% of every classroom has children, you know, that many children have mental health problems. And probably larger depending on where they're at, the inner cities or whatever. So really, this approach is going to automatically do harm to children in the classroom.
Well, and how sad that it has to be for Paula an either or. Either you continue teaching or you're free to speak out. How sad that we have to resign a position, a career, just so that she's free to speak out.
That's right.
And that's who we're losing to, is the very good teachers.
Of course. Of course. If you look at the 20%, you're absolutely right. In some areas, that's going to be way higher. Think about that in terms of the faculty as well. I'm hearing about buildings where half of the faculty is on medication just to go to work.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I have a friend who said, you know, she noticed an increase of the number of teachers going in to see her psychiatrist, and it was a common core. So, it is hurting teachers, parents, students, and it's got to be stopped. So just so grateful for what y'all are doing. But we want to join you on that Flyers Palooza. That sounds really good.
But you'll have to modify the flyer for your state because the dates are different.
Right.
But you can just take the flyer as it is and just change the date, and the bullet points are all there. And it's great. It's a great idea.
And you know what?
No.
Think about this. Think about this real quick. I just want to say this. Most of the time, okay, I mean, as far as I know, as every teacher I've ever had in my lifetime in school, and, you know, I spent my entire life in public school, and every single one of them had a passion, had a calling. And at some point in their lives, they were inspired to do the exact same thing from somebody, a teacher that they had. And so now, the reason that you guys just brought that up about the amount of teachers that are, you know, seeking medication or seeking psychological help, think about that. Think about the effect that they go home every single night when they know that what they're doing is wrong. But they're caught in between that rock and a hard place of my life, my livelihood, my career, my financial security, or hurt the children that I swore that when I took this profession on, I was going to help, and I was going to help save and mold and build them into the future of our society. Think about that psychological ramification, that somebody who cares the way my teachers did have to come home every night and know that what they're doing is wrong. This is the same as a doctor that goes in to a patient and offers them surgery that they don't need, procedures that are unwarranted, and offers
mm-hmm.
them every single type of medical advice and medical help that they have no actual bearing to their actual problem. This is a horror show. This is affecting all of us in a very bad, very, very bad way. When you think about how deep it goes and the people that are funding this, and the best thing that I have ever, ever, ever heard, okay, is when Mary said at my I Refuse rally, what if they are wrong? What if we spend a 10-year Bill Gates-funded social experiment and we lose an entire generation of children and their education because they're wrong? Think about that. Because people Right. Go ahead.
Well, you know, the foundation of this is so wrong. And I think to myself, you know, and I agree with y'all 150%, 200%. You know, it was never tested. And, you know, Sandra Stotsky, Professor Milgram, they both, you know, said these are invalid. And how dare we do this to the children? And I've heard some superintendent say, you know, well, we can tweak this. You know, when it was brought up about the 500 early educators that were signatories that, you know, this does harm. We can tweak this. And I'm thinking, no, you can't tweak this because it doesn't have the right foundation in the first place. It's like a test. It's like an experiment. We can't do that to these children.
Well, you can't tweak copyrighted material anyway.
That's right.
Well, I think that was probably her you know, suggestion just to hush us up.
But the very foundation of it, the very, you know, forcing it down states' throats, tying, you know, you can't have race to the top funds, you know, which somebody asked me today about the unfunded mandates. You know, how would you word the unfunded mandates? Well, let's start with federal money, which is taxpayer dollars, and state money, which is taxpayer dollars. You know, funding schools that are already funded through, can we all say it together, taxpayer dollars. You know, it's just the money trail is a zillion miles long, and all it is a cash cow. It's not a cash cow. I'm sorry. It's a money pit. It's an absolute money pit, and we're throwing it away on untested standards. The whole philosophy behind it is wrong. The essence of it is wrong.
Sandra Stotsky called, she said, you know, tell the superintendents, you know, when you find out that you're giving poison to children, you stop it, no matter how expensive. And in this case, it's so ironic. We're paying for our own poison, to poison the most precious, you know, God's gift to us, the children. And so we say no, and I think what y'all are doing and other states are copying New York, thank God, is going to make a huge impact. I'm believing it's going to be a tsunami. Even in sleepy Alabama, we're waking up. I mean, we know we have the best, sweetest teachers. That's what we think. But we're waking up. We know the teachers are under fire, and really parents are too. So, you know, stress levels is up for everybody, student, teacher, and the parents. And so this has got to stop.
Diana, what did you think? I know you must have seen it. What did you think about the bowing down of Bill Gates and his In Bloom plan?
I missed out on that. I've been out of the loop, so I've not seen a lot of stuff. So what was that about?
Mary, what do you think about that?
Well, yeah, I a lot of people are celebrating that In Bloom has been dismantled because New York is the last state that was in it, and New York, you know, severed its relationship with In Bloom. But at the end of the day, we haven't severed our longitudinal data system. The statewide longitudinal data system is still intact, so they're still mining the data. They'll just upload it somewhere else. But we did take down InBloom. I have to say it's a win, but I don't think it's as big a win as I'd like to see.
It's like the Indiana win.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
We're not going to call it Common Core anymore, that's all. You know, but, you know, it's just, but, you know, little battles won. I don't want to interrupt. I have to come off the call because I have to do a conference call for the lobby day in about 4 minutes.
Oh,
so
thank
I'm gonna
you
have
so
to,
much.
I'm going to have to leave you guys.
Okay, thanks. Mary Calamia, we just love you, and thank you for taking such a stand for these
thank
wonderful
children.
Thank you
for having
children.
Me. Anytime, Diana.
Thank you. We're so grateful.
And I'll see you at Flyer Palooza, Mark.
You got it, sweetie.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye. Wow. Mark, y'all have got such a wonderful fighter. God is so good. He's sending us health. And Mary is she's helping
Diana,
the whole country.
She has no children, Diana. She has no children.
Oh,
this woman,
say that. Oh, my goodness.
She works. I'm not joking. Between seeing the children in her practice and everything she does for this, if she gets 4 hours a day of sleep, Mary never stops. She does not have any children.
Well, she reminds me of another person.
Right. This is just a woman that has been brought to us from a higher power that is coming to help us save things. That's it. That's how
I
see Mary.
And it's important. It's important. You know, it's so sad that here in our state we did not listen to people like Mary Calamia, barely listened to Joan Landis. I mean, our 2 minutes was not enough for any expert to say anything. That's all we were given at a hearing.
Right.
So what a shame. But we are now being empowered. I know it feels like David and Goliath, but I think David is growing taller in stature, don't you?
100%. You know what? The fact is that they just, like I've told you before, they just never expected the average citizen to stand up and fight. They thought that we were going to accept this, pass this on. You know, they would do whatever they wanted to do, and we would accept it. The sad part is that we have to create events like we're doing this weekend, Flyer Palooza, because there are still so many people that are not on board with us. Like I said earlier, 34,000 is phenomenal. Would I love it to be 100,000? Of course I would. Will it be 100,000? I think time is our best advocate. I've always said this. I believe that parents need to see, and it's a sad state of affairs when this has to happen, but because of society and all the ramifications that surround it, you need some people that will not accept what is happening, that believe it can never happen. And we know, we're educated already, Diana, we're in this. We know that it is existing, it's real, and that's the point. But there are still so many parents that actually have to see their children suffer before they say, okay, the crazy mom was right. A year ago, she was that mom. She was the crazy mom that went to every Board of Ed meeting and spoke out, and none of us understood, and we all thought, wow, Miss Johnson was crazy. What is she talking about? Are children being indoctrinated? Are children going to be forced into some kind of global economy workforce? And guess what? Miss Johnson was right. And so Jackie and I get calls still every single day. What's happening? People that laughed at Jackie a year and a half ago that said, oh, they'll never do this to my children. And now they're calling Jackie and they're saying, what's happening to my children? Please help me, Jackie. Please help me, Mark. And that's why we're still doing events like Flyer Palooza, because I guarantee when I stand out at the I Refuse booth Friday in the King Cullen Plaza in Commack, Long Island, there will be parents that will come out with a full load of groceries, and they will still not understand what we're doing. But we can't stop educating, Diana.
No, because, you know, for that child, it means the world. You know, I love the story of the starfish. You know, why are you throwing that one back into the sea when you see multitudes of them? Well, for that one child, it means all the difference. So when you educate that one parent, wow, Mark, that is humongous for that child, because you've already seen the effects. Thank God y'all were able to do something with yours, but, you know, many more needs to be awakened, as you're saying. So continue to fight. We're so grateful you are doing that, and it's encouraging to us. As I said in the beginning, you know, you making yourself so available just for everything. You know, I don't know if you've ever turned me down, you know. Look at, you
never,
know,
ever
look
would
at
I
what
ever.
It has
never.
Done. Oh, my goodness. So we're another state that more people are away, and we're fighting hard, and people are wondering what's the fight all about, which is good because they need to know. We're making waves. We're not going to be silent. The children are worth all this. So we're just thanking God for the ability. But, Mark, you know, we were talking about the data, and I was just wondering, would you mind telling us who all are buying the data that they're getting from the children? Have you heard already who all is getting that data? Or some of them anyway?
It's corporate America. It's everybody that owns a mega conglomerate corporation. They have to have this information because they have to fill positions in their workforce because they need to satisfy some unrealistic need that America has fallen behind countries that don't have half the population as we do. And for instance, we keep getting compared to countries like Finland. Okay, Finland has 5 million people. I had 5 million people in my neighborhoods in Queens, New York. You understand what I'm saying? And this is what we're being compared to. And so the people that are receiving this data are the people that are grooming our children for a middle level, machine cog placement in their corporations at some point. And I've said this before. The children that can't excel in this ridiculous program that they've put into effect will be swept under the rug. They'll be the dregs of society. The children that are too smart, that have excelled in Common Core and whatever else, you know, they've instituted here, that are actually doing this, they don't want them either, because they're free thinkers, because they get this. This was meant to confuse. This was meant to find out who is exactly in the middle. Who is it that knows enough that will aid us in our grand scheme plan, but not cause any waves or question what we're doing? So I believe people like Bill Gates, the Koch brothers, companies, just ridiculous billionaires that have funded politicians' campaigns and so many illegal implementations, that's who's getting this data. Why? Why do you need this data? Why do children come home with surveys asking questions like, do you have a computer in your house? Do you agree with the way your parents discipline you? Do your parents fight a lot? Have any of your parents been on drugs or alcohol? Why do you need to know this? Why? What's the purpose of that collection? The purpose of that collection is it's a complete weeding out system, okay? They want absolute conformity. That's it. They want the children that are in the middle. Race to the top? I don't think so. Race to the middle. That's it. That's what this is about. Huge co-corporations. Our politicians are no longer in control of any destiny in this country at all. The Constitution, gone. Every single principle, every single foundation this country is based on, gone. Money is now ruling this country, and that's it. That's it, Diane. It's real simple. Mm-hmm. It is all about money. Pearson, the Pearson company that provides all the Common Core text, all the Common Core workbooks, all the Common Core everything. It's a $1 billion-a-year corporation, and they're making money off of children that they now consider human capital. That's the evil in this. George Orwell was a prophet. when he wrote 1984, he had no idea how absolutely pinpoint on the money he was. That's it.
Mm. Well, I did get to manage to see one of our new social studies books that, you know, we were going to adopt, and all of them got adopted, even the bad ones that we spoke up. But one of them said, you know, you're supposed to survey your fellow students in the community about what part of the First Amendment could you give up? What rights in the First Amendment, you know, could you give up? Would you give up? As if that's even a question that should even be posed to these children in the land of the free, home of the brave. You know,
that's
question
right.
Your Constitution. But it's crazy. So that is it for people that are thinking, oh, no, that's not happening. Yes, it is. Look at the books. Read the books, especially the new social studies book that's coming. Wow. But, you know, I've had somebody also say, Mark, that, you know, we really need to know how our money's being spent, and that's why we have to have standardized testing. And I just put a question out there, well, how did the founding fathers do it?
Right. Exactly. That's
you know,
a great point, actually.
And it's sad.
What? Why do we need, you know what, it's so funny because we know that every single situation that has ever transpired through history, and I hate bringing this up because it's a sore point, but who did Adolf Hitler go after first? He went after the children because they can't control us any longer. They know that already. They know that they have no use for us. We have created our lives for ourselves, by ourselves. Guess who they're going to go after? They're worried about the future. They're worried about what's going to be, not what has been. And so that's why children, innocent, moldable minds. It makes me sick, Diana. It really does. And that's, you know, I'm a take action guy. You know that. And I have a lot of problems with people that join this movement, and I'm going to say it, and I never really say this because I try to keep a balance as far as being a leader in this, but I have to tell you straight out, there are a ton of people that are involved and pay lip service to this movement every day, but when it comes down to actually doing something, to getting out and standing for your children, they become invisible. All of a sudden, lacrosse practice becomes important. All of a sudden, a dance recital becomes important. Well, guess what? I hope Johnny gets a scholarship for lacrosse, and I hope that Susie becomes a contestant on Dancing with the Stars, because if not, guess where they're going to be? And it bothers me. It bothers me so badly. And it's not because I do more than the next person. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the fact that you won't let your children run with scissors. You won't let them go swimming 45 minutes after they eat. You'll hold their hand when they cross the street. But when the government comes for them, when there is a complete indoctrination of their rights, their freedoms, and their futures, what are you going to do? Are you parents then? Be parents.
Mm-hmm.
Be parents. Because every single person, the day, and it's just, you know what? It's human nature. The day that doctor laid that child in your arms after you gave birth, what did you say to yourself in your brain when you looked at that gift you got? You said to yourself, I will protect you always. I will give my life to you. Then give your life to them. Give your life to them.
You
That's
know, we
it.
Have the
That's
perfect example. And, you know, we just had Resurrection Sunday, and we have the perfect example of one who gave all for us and, you know, wonderfully said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. And, you know, we're
That's
these
right.
children, if we don't do what's right and fight for them now, the parents who are asleep on the issue or are just paying a lip service on the issue, they're going to find, really, that they have lost their child. And that is, I think that's the goal they need to really be able to see. You know, I remember the story, and I may have shared it, about a swimmer who was swimming out in a race, and she, you know, called for them to let her on the boat. You know, it was She couldn't see. She could not see the horizon anymore. I mean, she couldn't see the horizon. She did not realize that she was almost there at the goal. So she lost. But then the next year, she got back at it again, the same contest, but this time made it to the shore, record time, and won. And they asked her what was the difference because she was doing it at night. She came in at night, and she said, you know, I had a picture of the goal. And I pray that every parent would get a picture of the goal. The goal is really to save your child.
That's right.
It's a very important goal. Just as Mark said, how important that baby was when that child was born and that child followed you with that child's eyes moving to the sound of your voice. That child
right.
is depending on you to take care of him or her. So the goal here
right.
is really to save that child. So with
right.
that in mind, in closing, Mark, would you mind less asking Almighty God, we saw how almighty he is in history, giving of himself, laying down his life, and taking it up again. And we just want to ask him to lead us and help us because this is a big fight. And we know that we can win it, but we sure need his that wonderful friend that the founder said, you know, Benjamin Franklin speech that have we forgotten that powerful friend? And I don't think we have, Mark. So if you don't mind. Close us in prayer.
I certainly will. Lord Jesus Christ, please, please hear us. I know you do. I know you look upon us. I know you protect those you love. You went through everything you did for us. You have brought us to where we are in our lives. We look upon you in faith. When times are rough, we turn to you, we get on our knees. We get on our knees because we are not worthy of the gifts you have bestowed upon us. And we want you to hear us right now because our future, our children, your creations need you. We don't need you as far as saving our lives in a daily basis. You save our lives in the end. You will come for us, those who believe. Our children who may not know you yet need you. They need you to hold their hand and guide them and to give the strength to the parents that you have entrusted the love to help them to see the way your Father sacrificed you for the greater good of this incredible, incredible world that you have created. And we want this world to go on forever. And we need you, Lord Jesus Christ. We need you to bless us. We need you to love us. And we need you to shine your protection down upon us. Your love will always be within our hearts, but your protection is what we need right now. Please, hear us. Hear our prayers. Hear the prayers of every child. Hear the prayers of every parent. Hear the prayers of every teacher. And hear the prayers of every single creation that you have blessed us with.
Mm.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, so much. We need you, and we love you, and thank you from the bottom of our heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mark. And if you don't mind, Mark, share the website that you want them to go and get more information.
Well, if you want to be involved in the Flyer Palooza event, please go to I Refuse the Great American Opt-Out Facebook page. And, of course, as always, you can get any information about the refusals or anything you really need at www.stopccsiny.com.
Oh, what an awesome website. And I just incredible. Excellent, excellent. Please, it is so worth it to go there. And I thank you for this Flyers Palooza that y'all are putting on. And we need to be doing that. I mean, my goodness, that sounds so wonderful because, you know, you never know who you're going to meet. that's going to be able to fight for their child because you've given them the knowledge. They're, my people perish for lack of knowledge, the Bible says. We need to inform them. So
that's right.
Go ahead,
you never know who's, you know what? You reach one parent, you save one child. That's it.
Mm. And that means a lot. So with that, Mark, please join us again. We're so grateful, as always, for your time. And listeners, this will be on record on our podcast at www.cityonahill.tv. Share it for such a time as this. And please look at the goal. Look at the face of your children. That is your goal. That who is in front of your face. So God bless you. May God shine his face upon you. God bless you, Mark Ferreris. And please tell Jackie we said hello.
You too,
and
Diana. God bless
you.
We love you so much.
Oh, we love you too. And we in Alabama, we're so grateful. And I think the whole country, Mark, we're all so grateful for what y'all are doing, stepping up to the plate and just, you know, leading us. Thank you so much. And God bless you. Goodbye.
God bless you. Good night.
Night.